Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, hello, hello, and welcome to Making Marriage Work Mondays. Amen. With Pastor Emily and myself, I am Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I am Pastor Rebecca Simmons. This is my wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, and we welcome you to Making Marriage Work Mondays. And we're excited because during the whole month of February, we're going to be doing this live video coming to you in the comfort of your own home, talking about marriage, talking about making marriage work, even in pressure situations. Because how many of you know that marriage can work even in the middle of a pandemic? So we're excited. We're excited about what we're going to share tonight, my husband and I. But before we get started, right off the bat, I want to encourage you to go over to our webpage and sign up for our email list. We are going to have some exciting things coming. We have some new announcements that we're going to be making. We have the book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work. We have some seminars coming up, some conferences for marriage, all types of exciting, wonderful things that are going to be taking place. And we want you to be a part of that. So go over to our website and sign up for our email list, for our marriage empowerment email list, and that's at www.nccmonline.org. So we're going to get started. We welcome you. We see a few of you have come in. You can tell us where you're coming in from. If you like, you can type where you're coming from, where you're watching from, and we will be interacting. We're on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question for us, you can call 646-652-4832. And later on, we will be going over to Blog Talk Radio to take questions. So you actually will be live on the air with us with your question. Or if you have a prayer request, we will pray for you and your spouse. So we're excited. I'm going to turn it over to my husband so that he can greet you. And then we're going to go right into our topic for tonight.
Hello, everyone. Tonight, we are just so excited about what's about to happen over these next four Mondays in the month of February. We know February the 14th is Valentine's Day, the day for lovers, but we want to talk about marriage and relationships. If you're watching and you're single and you want to be married, not just married, happily married. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
We hopefully something we share with these next four Mondays at that 9 p.m. hour would just strike you and catch your attention and possibly help you. We're not here to fix anybody. We're not here to just do something overnight, but we have been teaching marriage seminars. We have been teaching marriage conferences. We have been doing so many things in the area of marriage, but now that everything is virtual just for a moment, we were led by the Lord to come on virtually to share about marriage, especially in these times in which we are living, because with the pandemic and so much going on with politics and our jobs, our livelihoods, our families. For the first time ever, our children are home being taught virtually.
Yeah.
So if you're a parent and you're at that age where your children are still in grade school or high school and they're learning virtually, all of these things, all these dynamics can not just interfere with your marriage, but as Pastor said, they can impact your marriage and add that pressure, that stress, that anxiety, and sometimes that unexpected thing that happens in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Pastor, marriage is not easy. And when we wrote that book, Making Marriage Work, we realized that we, husband and wife, have to participate in the victory and the success of our marriages.
Yes, absolutely. And, Pastor, before we get into it, I want to welcome Delania Tinsley. She's from North New Jersey. Hey,
I'm
from North. We're both from North.
Yes, products of North.
So
absolutely.
We're so glad to meet you. And also Maria Cado coming from, I believe she's calling in from?
Georgia.
Atlanta. Well, for Georgia. I don't know if she's in Atlanta. So good to see you, Maria, and welcome. Like what happened. So welcome. Tag and share. Let somebody know about this. We're only going to be here for an hour, so we are timing ourselves.
Yes.
Let's talk about it. Like Pastor said, marriage can be difficult, especially in the middle of pressure situations. Now, if you're married, this type of married. If you're not married type, I want to be married. I desire to be married. So that we can kind of like get a feel of what our audience is and where you are. But even if you're not married, this is going to help you in your preparation for marriage if you have a desire to be married one day. So what we're finding is that marriage is hard. My husband and I have been married for over 24 years, and July will be celebrating 25 years of marriage. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And even as I said praise the Lord, I want to stop and pray. Father God, we praise your name. We magnify your name. We thank you for this time together as we talk about making marriage work. Lord, bless each and every person that's here. Bless every marriage under the sound of our voices. Let something that we say be a blessing to someone, oh God, that tunes in and listens or listens to the replay. And we thank you, Lord, that all things are possible with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So marriage is hard. Yes. Marriage is definitely hard, and I see you over there, common law marriage, and yes, definitely. So you've been together. You're with somebody. You're in a committed relationship, and you may have been together for a while, but marriage is hard. It is definitely hard for two people to come together under the same roof and live together and get along. There are times that the pressure comes in, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, getting along, dealing with marriage and being successfully married, even in the middle of pressure situations. You can make it and you can be successfully married, even in the middle of a pandemic, even in the middle of a pandemic. And even tonight, I was tested as we came to go on the air. We're in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah.
How much snow is out there, honey?
At least 2.5 feet, almost 3 feet. That's a lot of snow.
Right. So my husband is outside. For the last 4 or 5 hours, he's been outside shoveling snow or using the snow blower to blow snow, clearing off the car, making sure that my daughter and myself don't have to be inconvenienced when we go outside in the snow. And I'm getting dressed, and I'm looking at the time, and I'm like, he knows that we have to go on at 9 o'clock. And it was like getting close to 9 o'clock, and I'm sitting there. And let me tell you something, the enemy of marriage came to my mind and said, you know what? He doesn't care. You need to be upset with him. Just before we came on the air tonight, the enemy of marriage, and there is an enemy of marriage, amen, that does not want your marriage to be successful, that does not want you to be in a relationship that's successful. The enemy of marriage came and said, you know what? You might as well, you're going to have to go on by yourself. Don't say, and you know, I said, well, let me go. I was saying to myself, well, I'm going to go and tell him, because he may have lost track of time, that it's almost time to go on. And I don't know if it was me, because sometimes we blame the devil. I don't know what it was, but there was something in me that said, no, I'm not going to say anything. If he's not ready, I'm just going to go on by myself. Can I be honest? Because you know what? In order to have an effective marriage, you have to be honest, even a relationship. You have to be honest with yourself to see your own issues, to see your own barriers, to see the things that you do that provoke tension in your marriage. So I was like, I'm not going to say anything to him. But then I heard the Spirit of God say, well, is that right? Is that right? So now you want to not be his helpmeet. Because women, we are here to help our husbands. We are here to help our husbands. So if I was not going to do my job, how could I expect to be mad at him later? And that's what the enemy wanted me to do, to be mad at him later so that we would be at each other's throats arguing because he's outside in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a snowstorm, shoveling snow. So what did I do, ladies? What did I do for those who are watching? I did the right thing. Somebody say she did the right thing. I did the right thing. I went over to my husband. I went over to the window. I opened the door first, and I said, oh, the snow's still blowing. I closed the door real quick. Then I went to the window and knocked on the window. He looked at me, and I did like this. He came in, and said, what time is it? I told him the time, and he came in and prepared to go on the air tonight. So what did I do? I squashed this argument. See, we have the power to squash the argument. Amen?
And just, some people might be saying, you know, Pastor Rebecca, Pastor Anthony, that never happened with me and my husband, me and my man, me and my lady. We have great communication. But in all of our years of talking, counseling, mentoring marriages, even being in sessions where people have testified how things like that have blown up into a full argument, we talk about communication. We talk about body language. We talk about respect and honor and mutual tones of our voices where it does not escalate. And sometimes when there's pressure in marriages, no matter where that pressure comes from, because guess what? To come on, even after shoveling snow, snow blower, shoveling snow, I'm freezing cold, 4 hours out there in New Jersey, 3 feet of snow is not easy. But guess what? I'm outside knowing my wife after so many years saying, even after I was almost done, I said, she's going to look out and see that there's not a clear path to the mailbox after doing 4 hours of hard labor, and that's going to bother her more than 4 hours of hard labor. That's knowing your mate that I don't want to get angry over working so hard, knowing that she's going to only look at this where the mailbox can be accessed by the mailman, and that can also lead to an argument. So dwelling with your wife, like the Bible says, in full understanding, so important. And so many men, we got to read our ladies. We got to understand them. We got to know what sets them off and what makes them happy. And so many times, Pastor, we know how we can squash a confrontation, a disagreement that turns into something ugly, and we still say, I'm right. I was only helping you. You know, you're misunderstanding it. So how does that work where we can diffuse it, we can not allow it to escalate because we've mastered it, thank God. But we know so many relationships, and you're sitting there saying, we argue over the stupidest stuff. And I wish I could have that story like y'all have, that we can just clear the air, clear up the misunderstanding. But me and my mate, me and my husband, me and my wife argue over the dumbest things sometimes. So what would you say about that? Pastor, as far as you already said, this voice in our head tells us, yeah, he know he's totally wrong and you should get on him. But you killed that voice and you went to the other voice saying, no, that's not going to work this time because I know that's not of God.
Mm-hmm. It's a choice. It's a choice. You have to choose peace, peace in your marriage. Choose to have peace in your home. Choose to do the right thing as opposed to the wrong thing. You know, like my getting on his case or my starting an argument, which was my pattern in the past, you know, I used to love to argue. I used to love to fight. You know, I thought that that was the way relationships should be conducted. I thought that if we weren't arguing and fighting, something was wrong. You know, and that was dysfunctional.
Yeah.
I've been married before. We've both been married before. This is our second and last marriage. If he tries to leave, he dies. And I can.
She's my beneficiary. She's my beneficiary, people.
That's a joke. Don't go killing anybody.
God.
Don't go killing anybody. But the thing about it is you have to make up your mind that, A, divorce is not an option, and then drama and being miserable in your marriage is not an option.
Wow.
You have to make up your mind that you're going to be married forever, you're going to be with this person forever, and that being dysfunctional in that relationship is not an option. You don't want to be crying yourself to sleep every night.
Mm.
You don't want to be arguing every night, arguing and fussing every day. Like, why do we go through these changes where we, as married couples, find ourselves always at each other's throats when we have the power to stop it? You have the power to stop an argument just by making the choice to say, you know what, I'm going to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. You have a control. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to get, you have more power. You have the power. I tell women all the time, take your power back.
Right.
Don't allow circumstances to make you act out of character. Always be that queen. Always be that that precious jewel in your husband's life that's bringing him joy and not grief. So it's a choice. It's a choice, Pat.
And it's so important, because as my wife started, and we started this broadcast saying this is our second and final marriage, yeah. We know what leads up to divorce. We know what a bad relationship looked like and involved.
Yes.
We understand arguing and miscommunication and strongly disagreeing with one another. And sometimes no resolution, no resolve is taking place. And we have lived in situations where there was no peace in the home.
We've been in our own marriage.
Exactly.
Let's just let you know, we may look like the ideal couple. We may look like we have it all together, but it's only because we've been through the fire. We've been through the storm. We've had those arguments. We've had those fights. We've cursed each other out. We've hated each other, or, you know, just despised each other. We wanted out. We wanted divorce. We have been there. The first 7 years of our marriage, it was hell. You know, it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm married to her. Oh, my God, I can't believe I married him. How do I get out? But we are God-fearing people, and our thing was like, look, we've been married before, and we made these vows before God, our friends, and each other. We're not going to cop out. This time, we're going to stick it out. And it's been 25 years.
And that's the point I was alluding to,
yes.
That we fought for this peace. We really worked,
yes.
On our marriage. We worked on our communication.
Yes.
Because we both had anger issues. We both were kind of short-fused and short-tempered at one stage,
yes.
in our life.
Yes.
The Bible says, be slow to anger, quick to listen, and slow to speak. We begin to incorporate that into our DNA of our marriage. We begin to work on our character. Because guess what? We can be set in our ways, and we've heard couples say that, I'm 60, I'm 50, I'm set in my ways. But guess what? If you love one another, and the Bible says the two shall become one flesh,
mm-hmm.
You have to change. You have
Come on,
to perform.
Say that again.
You have to change. You have to,
yeah.
perform. There must be compromise sometimes. You know, some people want it their way or the highway,
mm-hmm.
and that's when sometimes manipulation comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get mad. I'm going to start a fight because I know he's going to walk around on eggshells. I know she's going to walk around on eggshells. I'm not going to cook for him. I'm not going to, you know, be nice.
I'm not going to have sex with him.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And, Pastor, some people even shut down communication,
mm-hmm.
when they're mad at each other.
Yeah.
And, again, maybe it's not you, but during these 4 weeks, trust me, we're going to hit something that hopefully will help you and enrich what you're walking through, because, as we said, all of our kids are grown now. But we were at that stage where we went to PTA meetings and we went to back to school night. Our youngest daughter's getting ready to graduate with her master's degree. But guess what? We have been there with you parents, that sometimes the stress of raising children is on the marriage.
Yeah.
And Pastor, we can tell the people, guys, you just said the,
yeah.
first 7 years of a blended family was not easy.
Yeah.
And through our studies, children were a big part of divorce in that second and third marriage.
Yeah, we have a blended family. Pastor was married. I was married before. I was a teenage mother. I had my baby at 16. I was pregnant at 15. I had my first daughter at 16 years old. And I got married for the first time at like 21 years old. Pastor was married. He got married right out of college. I think he was still in college. They got pregnant. They got married. Both of us were married over 10 years, but then we were not happily married. We met each other, decided to be together. So what I said to say is that we've been through some things. We have a blended family. Pastor came into the marriage with two boys. I had a teenage daughter who was pregnant. So we got together, and blending was not easy. Blending was not. I had already raised a child. I had already raised a child by myself, you know, and now I had two more little boys coming. I really didn't want any more kids, but we ended up having another baby. So God has a plan. See, you're not just together because you love each other. There's ultimately a greater plan for your marriage, you know. So what you have to realize is that your children, you're going to show your children how to break generational curses.
Come on.
Come on. See, a lot of us have generational curses. We have things over our lives like We never saw a happy marriage.
Never.
I don't know about you, but growing up, I didn't see a happy marriage.
Nowhere.
Nothing against my mom, nothing against my dad, but it just wasn't happening. You know, you saw a happy marriage with your stepdad, but it got to the point where dysfunction was the order of the day. You know, so we were just repeating cycles, repeating dysfunction, and now our children sometimes pick up those same habits. So what God wants to do is break the cycle so that we can raise up children that can be functional in their relationships and functional in their marriages. See, your children are watching you. They're watching how you deal with your husband, how you deal with your spouse, how you deal with your boyfriend if you're not married, how you deal with that person that you're in a committed relationship with. Your children are watching. And I want to ask you, what are you putting before your kids? What are you teaching your children about marriage? What are you teaching them about relationships, you know?
It's so powerful because it's a sad indictment that even in the church, divorces are still taking place. And we know it's a high rate in the world, even higher than in the church. And you're saying, well, Pastor Anthony, Pastor Rebecca, why so many relationships fell? Why so many marriages end up in divorce court? Because the Bible has great solutions on how we can stay married till death do us part. But until you apply those practices and principles of the Word of God, and as Pastor said, if we were to put our former way of thinking, I grew up in a single-parent home for a long time. My mother remarried to my stepfather, and he was, you know, not a person that disciplined us. So she said, I saw a working marriage. But that was a unique relationship, that person that my stepdad had with my mom, who never disciplined us children. Mm-hmm. So my mother still had that. So with Pastor Becca and I, as we got together, we were tearing down the things that was not biblical.
Yeah.
Biblical as far as disciplining our children,
yeah,
as far as raising our children, as far as our thoughts on money and finances, communication, what we think marriage is and what marriage should be. All these things, we started to lean it and push it in the area of what God wants for marriage. What does God say about, you know, the man being ahead? What does God say about submitting one to another? What does the Word say about that complaining woman? It says in the Bible, a man rather live on a roof up top of a house than to dwell with a complaining, nagging woman. But guess what? That woman is nagging and complaining sometimes, man of God, or man or husband, for good reason. And this is why we come on these Monday nights to kind of squash some of that stuff that gets us arguing, that gets us not getting along, where, you know, we are sometimes even walking around holding stuff in our heart. Even though it's not spoken, it has not been resolved.
Yes. So let's go into it. Let's go into some, give you something you can use as we get going to this time, because we're only going to be here for an hour.
Right.
So let's give you something you can use. How can you deal with pressure situations such as the pandemic? We are in a time like we never lived in before, and sometimes a couple may not have been getting along at all, and now you're in the middle of a pressure situation. How do you deal with that pressure situation? How do you deal with the fact that tempers are short and people are feeling hopeless? How do you deal with money problems? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with problems in the bedroom? You know, these are things that we want to touch on. How do you deal with communication problems? So let's just talk about those few things, money problems, short tempers, problems in the bedroom, and communication problems. We may not be able to touch all of them tonight, but let's just dig in and just talk a little bit about it. We already talked about short tempers and having arguments that you don't have to have. You don't have to argue. Now, when it comes to short tempers, let's deal with that first, Pastor. I want to talk about that a little bit.
And as you said, Pastor, we're looking for solutions tonight.
Yeah.
And one of the things that helped me in the area of anger or losing my cool, losing my temper, is prayer. And when you're praying to God, so hopefully you're praying as a couple. Hopefully you pray for your wife, man of God, husband. Hopefully you're praying for your husband, wife. He needs that covering as well. But the Bible says, come to God in prayer. and be anxious for nothing. We're going to talk about wisdom hopefully before we get off the air tonight, because sometimes, Pastor, wisdom also can be a remedy to some of the things we're arguing about. But I tell you, prayer is that supernatural thing to say, you know, we got to stop dancing around this heavy issue that we both keep avoiding, and we got to, I'm going to pray that when I sit down with my husband, I sit down with my wife, we're going to have enough room to discuss it openly, objectively, and try to come to some resolve on this issue. We can't dance around it. We can't ignore it. So we're going to pray before we address it. We're going to find the right time of day to sit down and talk about it. Maybe when the kids are put down to bed, maybe when we have some quiet time one with another over a cup of coffee. But we're going to pray and get God involved in it, because obviously sometimes we can't fix things on our own. And that's one way, Pastor, when you're talking about solutions, to keep the peace but still address those weightier issues in our marriage.
Oh, let me jump in there. Because that is the ideal. Prayer is the ideal, that we will come together and we will pray together. Mm-hmm. But how many of you know that it's really hard to come and grab your spouse by the hand and say, let's pray, when you are totally ticked off? They done just really, really made you mad. You feel like throwing something. You don't feel like getting on your knees and praying. What you need to do then is go somewhere and get by yourself and count to 10. You know, the pastor, Bernadette Glover-Williams, taught me so much. She said, when you get angry, because I could go in the past, I could go from 0 to 100, just like that, from 0 to 100. So I told her that, and she said, just go somewhere and take a chill pill. So that's what I want to say to the women tonight, because women, we are quick with our mouths. And you heard Pastor Emily say, my husband say, that a man would rather live on the roof than live with a woman who's nagging him, who's constantly going yak, 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 and she won't shut up, you know. So that's what he's thinking in his mind, like, this woman won't shut up, you know. And what we have to do is learn to put a guard on our mouth when it comes to our husband, because we can cut somebody up with our mouth, and especially those us from North, you know, especially as sisters, you know, black women, we can cut a man up and down, upside down, turn loose, and he'll be like, he will be just like hurt, wounded by our tongue. Our tongue is such a weapon. So be careful how you speak to your husband. Go somewhere and be quiet. Be quiet before you speak. Don't start cutting him up and chewing him up and slicing him up with your mouth. You know, because sometimes we can say, I don't need you. Get out. I can do bad all by myself. You know, you're nothing. Look at you. You're a pitiful excuse of a man. You know, you don't want to say that to your man. You don't want to say that to your husband. You know, we say as women, we say we want a man, but we get a man, and then we want to turn him into a little boy.
And maybe that's not you. Because
some of us. Not all of us.
But it could be on the flip side as well, because a lot of women, Pastor, talk about emotional abuse. If that man has that sharp tongue.
Yeah.
If that man has damaging, destructive words.
Yes.
And what Pastor Rebecca is alluding to, woman, if you tear that man down, I can tell you right now, men need to be respected.
Respect.
I mean, that's number one,
yeah,
with men.
Yeah,
If they feel disrespected, they don't take it on the block. They don't take it from the boss on the job. They shut on them when they come home. You're talking to him like he's a boy. And some women have torn that man down in such a way. He's building up resentment, even though sometimes he's not coming back at you because, you know, hopefully he's not putting his hands on you, but hopefully he's showing restraint because he don't want to fight. But you're tearing him down, and we teach couples all the time about the power of destructive words. Once they're out, once they did the damage,
you're back.
Well, try to apologize and forgive,
you can apologize.
But sometimes the damage is done.
Yeah.
But, Pastor, you said it so effectively, and I tell men all the time, that woman got so many more words. Study the books. Study what's out there, the surveys. Women, you have so many more words than us men, and that's why my wife said it's more likely that the woman is cutting down that relationship in that man instead of building each other up. So let's work on that.
Yeah.
Let's work on that.
Yeah, exactly. We want to work on that on both ways, because a man can mess a woman up by belittling
mm-hmm.
her,
yeah.
verbally abusing her, you know, saying things to her, you know, telling her things, you know, look, you're nothing like my mother, you know, you can't cook, you never clean
oh,
up, look
boy.
At this house,
that's
you're
gross.
A mess,
yeah.
look, I work all day, I come home, you're worthless, you know, say that, you know, we're supposed to love each other. So when we love each other, we do not use our words to harm each other. Amen. So like my husband, I want to get back to prayer. Because when my husband talked about prayer, and prayer is so pertinent, it's
so
important
it's so
that
important,
you pray. So if you can't pray together, when you take your chill pill, sister, when you take your chill pill, my brother, go and pray. You know,
Five
you may
days.
Not get on your
yep.
knees. But sit and talk to God and say, God, give me wisdom. I feel
yeah.
God right now.
Uh-huh.
Say, God, give me wisdom on how to handle this situation.
Right.
I'm fuming. I'm so upset right now. Give me wisdom on how to deal with my wife. Give me wisdom on how to deal with my husband. If you ask for wisdom, God will give you wisdom. He will give you strategies. He will give you guidelines and instructions on how to deal with your husband and how to deal with your wife. So prayer is so important because that prayer will release wisdom in order for you to be able to deal with your spouse.
It's so important because, you know, you should want to be friends, not just in love, but in like with one another,
yes.
getting along, watching a movie, having dinner together, doing the small things that keep marriage fun. Hopefully you both have a good sense of humor. These are the things that keep our marriage going, even in pressure. Because, again, we started off this broadcast about pressure situation, watching a comedy movie. Because if we make every relationship, every pastor, every issue weighty, then the fun is the taken out of the balloon, if you will. And that's why God, I tell you, the Bible, it talks about him lifting that burden. It talks about he coming to me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you'll be amazed at the revelation and insight you get as you pray to God before you even address sometimes. You know, the children need tuition money, or the children are acting up in school, their grades are failing, or, you know, how are we going to pay for daycare? All these things come into play, into fruition. When you pray, somehow, I can't explain it, but it's supernatural. God doesn't just create a peaceful atmosphere. He creates an atmosphere where problems are solved.
Yeah, the pathway is open.
Yes.
And, you know, and that leads me to your responsibility. Once you pray and God gives you the answers,
mm-hmm.
you know, it comes down to you taking responsibility to be obedient
That's
to
it.
The instruction
obedient.
To continue to keep peace in your marriage and peace in your home. Because a lot of times the reason that you need prayer is because there's an underlying thing. God bless you, Pastor Cheryl.
Come
I see you.
Yes.
There's an underlying thing. You know, you have an underlying issue. That's underneath
yes.
the surface, and it has nothing to do with your husband. It has nothing to do with your spouse. It's just that you got issues. You know, we talk about dealing with your own issues. So sometimes it's a trigger. Like my husband talked about bills and tuition. Me, 5 years of putting my daughter through college, you know, that was a lot of stress, man.
Wow.
That was a pressure situation.
Come on here.
You know, that we have to figure out how to pay the mortgage and how to pay the
balance.
How to pay electricity, how to eat. How to say that tuition, you know, how to do all of these things. We needed a relationship with God. That's why we talk about prayer, because we couldn't be married without our relationship with God. But we needed prayer, and then we needed to be able to move, to walk out the steps, amen, to do what we needed to do. So my husband knows that, look, don't come in my bed talking to me about bills, because
wow.
then ain't nothing going on but the rent. You know, it's like I can't get in the mood if you just came in the bed and talked to me 30 minutes about bills, you know, or just before bedtime. Don't talk to me about, don't pick up a bill off the table. I know the bill, put the bill on the table, you know. We'll deal with it, you know. And I know certain things not to say to him, amen. So it's learning with each other, learning, look, okay, he knows she is stressed out about bills sometimes, and she keeps her peace by having an organized methodology of dealing and paying with the bills, because he allows me to pay the bills in our home, right? So he knows how I handle the bills. And I know, look, there's a certain thing, tone in my voice that I have to keep, because I can't talk to him any kind of way, because then he's going to get rigid and shut down on me. So I have to be responsible now, once I pray, to be responsible to say, okay, now this is how I'm going to act.
See, now, Pastor, it's so important what you're saying, because guess what? We have it where people were not responsible with money and paying the bills and being responsible and reliable. Now, we don't have that situation. Pastor Rebecca, she gets to the bills when she's organized, when she's taking care of business, and we're still in our home 20-something years later, because she do handle her responsibility of paying the bills. And I've learned over the years she has great administration skills. I don't have that. She's frugal with money. I don't have that. So in our marriage, I have learned to put the bulk of the financial responsibility as far as administration to the bill collection.
You make the money.
There you go. It works for us. Every relationship is different. We've been where people have purchased cars and made major purchases and disagreed about money and spending habits and budgeting. Now, if that is the case, this is why we say you need prayer.
Yeah.
Because that person has a bad spending habit. You are one who is very accountable and responsible. Guess what? Y'all have to come to some kind of agreement in the area of, you know, it really bothers me the way you're careless and reckless with money. So you got to pray and say, God, this has been a pet peeve in my marriage. This has been a thorn in my marriage. And it looks like it's getting worse. So that's when prayer really comes into play with those issues that can't be solved easily.
It's always,
yes.
Pray daily. You know, that way you cut off the plan of the enemy, because the enemy is going to try to come against your marriage. So even as you're praying daily, pray more when you have these pressure situations.
Exactly.
Pray again, and then pray some more, pray some more. And that leads us into communication, because those pressure situations and how if we deal with each other wrong, if you deal with your spouse wrong, it will escalate or cause your spouse to shut down on you. And now you're saying things and you're doing things that will hurt each other. Amen. So you're going outside of the boundaries. Some people, you know, it gets to a point sometimes when you can't even talk to your spouse. So now the door is open, especially through social media, for now another female to come and talk to your husband, or another male to come and step to your wife. You know, they come on the DM and the IM and all of these PMs and all of this stuff. So we have to understand that we have to boundary-proof our marriage and also make sure that we are communicating with each other in such a way that we enjoy talking to each other. As you can see, we're both talkers. We're both talkers. We love talking to people, but guess what? We like talking to each other also.
See, it's so important to keep your individuality in marriage. I love sports. Sometimes my wife, she tried to watch football over the years, and she's like, I still don't understand it, but I'm gonna give you that 3 hours. I'm going to sit here with my Apple iPad. I'm going to sit here on my phone. I'm going to do some work. But guess what? In 25, 24 years of marriage, she has written 10 books. That's her individuality. She's an author. She's a publisher. So we never lose who we are, even in marriage. And writing 10 books, guess what? That's a lot of private time. That's a lot of space. That's a lot of typing. That's a lot of words. And I realize when she's in that zone, I got to back up. I'm not saying, well, when are you going to give me some attention? Well, I'm feeling neglected. I've had those moments too.
Really?
But yes, yes, yes. And sports.
Well, I made up for it, right?
You always make it. And she's not offended when I'm watching football. You spent 3 hours and you didn't pay me attention all day. She doesn't come at me like that. You're working hard, babe. Watch your game. You take care of me and the children. Have your zone out time. Get in your man cave and enjoy it. You ain't out at the bar. You ain't out getting drunk. You're not squandering our money. Go ahead and sit down on that couch and eat some popcorn and relax. You deserve it. So we have gotten to a place in a zone in our marriage, and possibly you're not there. Why he likes sports so much? Why is she, you know, always typing it in her office? And, Pastor, when you talk about pressure situations,
yes.
I heard one time that cell phone has gotten in the way of some relationships.
Yeah.
Even when you're out at dinner, if that cell phone is more important than a person across the table from you, you need prayer.
Yeah, definitely.
We can't let technology get in the way of our relationship.
Well, and that's a rule. That's a boundary. You know, one thing that we did early in our marriage was we established boundaries. You have to have boundaries in your marriage to the point where it's like, listen, my marriage is more important than this cell phone. We don't bring cell phones to the dinner
table. We don't. No.
Yeah, when we go out, our cell phones are in our purse.
We look at each other in the eye.
Unless we're taking a picture, unless we're going live.
Right, right.
You know, we might do that, but we're not going to do it the whole night. I'm not going to, you know, record my whole date, you know. So, because there are times when I want to spend looking into his big brown eyes, you know. So, you know, I like his eyes, you know. So I don't need to be so focused. Sometimes we forget what we appreciate about each other, and we forget to appreciate each other.
Yeah,
amen.
It's small
so
thing.
It's important that this is small things. It's important that we focus on what's important, and that is our spouse. Sometimes marriages get dead and dry, and relationships end because we take each other for granted.
Don't do that.
So the thing about it is, even in the middle of pressure situations, remember to pay attention to each other. Remember to sometimes, like he said, I'm writing books, so I'm up late at night. I have to remember to go to bed with my husband. come on, let's stay focused. Let's stay focused.
We got intimacy coming up in
let's
the future.
Stay focused. We're just touching on things tonight. We're not going deep. You know, we have three more Mondays that we're going to be coming, but I have to remember to go to bed at night because he has needs, I have needs, you know, and we can't get so distant that even our marriage bed gets cold, you know, so it's just important that we, all of these things line up, you know, dealing with our tempers, dealing with our issues, dealing with communication issues, prayer, and even intimacy. Intimacy is not just sex. We're not going to talk about sex tonight. Let's talk about intimacy. Intimacy is putting that phone down so that you can pay some attention to your spouse. Even sitting on the couch, I feel God. I get chills when I feel God.
She like Netflix.
I like Netflix. I like games.
And Lifetime.
I like, you know, but it's balance. Somebody say balance.
Balance.
Somebody type balance. There has to be a balance. Amen. You have to make sure there's a balance. Everything in its proper place. There has to be time for snuggling up. Sometimes we have a big couch. I'm on one end, he's on the other end. It's the cushion in the middle. Sometimes I leave my end of the couch and go to the cushion in the middle. But you never leave your end of the couch.
I do because you'll say, rub my shoulder. Rub my shoulder. I'm her masseuse. Her spa day is with me.
Yes.
So
we meet in the middle of the couch for that.
Yeah, we meet in the middle sometimes, and I do get that stress out of her shoulders every time again. But Pastor, it's so important, and as you talked about prayer, and we're going to touch on a few solutions tonight.
What time is it?
Another, I'm looking at 8:49:42.
So we have about 15 minutes. Yeah.
And another thing, people of God, men and women of God, another thing you got is the Bible says if you lack wisdom, go to God and ask him for wisdom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes we need wisdom under our rules. We need God, not just our intellect, not just on what we know and what we think is right, but God, give me wisdom. Give me insight on my spouse, my significant other. Because God, this thing has been around too long. This issue has been around too long without resolve. So we obviously need wisdom. We're not getting ahead financially. We're not getting ahead. It looked like we're arguing over something that happened 6 months ago. God, give us wisdom on how to really forgive this time and let it go without harboring things in our heart. And, Pastor, that takes wisdom.
Yes.
I tell you, it's a beautiful gift from God. James said, if you lack it, don't be double-minded. Believe that God has given you that wisdom, how to handle balancing the bills. You know, and Pastor, I talked about it earlier, when we struggle with daycare, tuition bills, and finding babysitters, it was hard in those early years of marriage because we could not date each other the way we wanted to date it. And we got wisdom in those years to say, since we can't go out, God, give us wisdom. We don't have babysitters. We don't have people stepping up and helping us to keep the small things alive. God, give us wisdom on how to stay happy, and we can't go out this house.
Yes, yes. God bless you, Pastor Melinda. God bless you, my sister. Good to see you. Yes, we definitely, she says, yes, wisdom is needed. She says, you're talking right. Wisdom is needed, and we do need wisdom. And another thing about wisdom is this. When we get wisdom, we have to act like we got it.
Wow.
He says, believe that you receive it. Believe that you receive the answer to your prayer. Believe that you receive that wisdom. Act like you have it. You know, sometimes we get the wisdom, but then we need to act like we don't have wisdom, you know. So it's important. I talked about that at the beginning when we first came on, like I wanted to act outside of wisdom. Even my anointed self, even with all of this wisdom that I have, I wanted to act outside of wisdom and not call my husband in from shoveling the snow so that later on I could have something to argue with him about. And it wasn't my intention because I don't want to argue with him. I love him. I love me from him. Amen. But the enemy, the devil, will get up in your mind. The enemy will get in your mind. The enemy of marriage will get in your mind and say, look, don't call him in. Y'all going to argue later. And it's like, no, that's not wisdom. So I had to push past. Come on, somebody say, I always say when the enemy pushes you, push back.
Push back.
Push back. Somebody said push back. Amen. So I had to push back and say, no, I'm calling my husband in here. We're going to do this live tonight. So I called the man, and he, without a word, came in. Because what? I approached him the right way. I didn't go in there screaming at him, say, what you doing? What you doing out there? Don't you know that we have to go live? And I could get loud. Y'all know I could get loud. You know I could get loud. But I approached him, and I just said, honey, and he said, what time is it? And I said, whatever the time was. And he said, okay, I'm coming. I sat down somewhere. I just said, well, come on, hurry up. Because I was ready. And he was like, he came in, he got ready, and we came up, and here we are. Wisdom. You have to operate in wisdom.
The spirit of wisdom is so important. It's applied knowledge.
Yeah,
Pastor Zay, if you know the principles and you don't apply them,
come on.
You're going to be useless.
Yes.
You know, dwell with your wife in full understanding.
Understand.
A soft answer is going to turn
away
back wrath. Mm. Submitting one to another.
Submitting one to another.
Husband, love that wife as Christ loved the church. Wife,
Yes. Submit
to that husband.
Yeah.
You can know all of this, but if it stays head knowledge alone, guess what? You're not progressing. You're not advancing.
Yeah.
You're not enriching.
You're not winning.
You're not winning. Yeah.
If you don't use the principles, the strategies, the blueprint that God gave you for marriage, you're not winning. You are, you know, sometimes we say the right thing, we know the right thing to do, but we don't do the right thing.
Obedience.
And I'm saying obedience is so important when it comes to making marriage work. You know, we have to obey God. Sometimes we feel like going off, but just because we can does not mean we should.
Wow.
Because some of us, for the women, some of our husbands are so sweet and so tolerant of us, and they know us by now, and they know how to just be quiet and let the tornado rage, and they will don't say anything, but it does not, and we will go off, and it does not mean it's right.
And you know, as we started this broadcast, we talked about pressure, not just from the pandemic. I remember my wife was in a high-stress atmosphere at Merrill Lynch. Phones ringing all day, making trades, all this stuff. And she would come home a little stressed out. I had a stressful job. So guess what? In those early years, we barked at each other. We snapped at each other. We were a little short with one another. We weren't mad at the person, but guess what? The stress of the job.
Sometimes I was mad at you.
Every now and again.
For real.
Maybe somebody out there got a stressful job.
But it was because of the job.
Yeah.
And the job needed work.
And even in pastors.
Yeah, because I wanted him to understand.
Right.
See, there were times when I was mad at him for real because of what had happened on the job, and I came to talk to him about it, and he was hearing something different. Mm-hmm. See, ladies, can you relate? Like, sometimes you could be talking to your husband, and he'll hear something different, but that's not what you said. And I used to get so frustrated because of the difference in our communication styles.
Yeah,
I wanted him to hear me as a girlfriend, but he's not my girlfriend. He's my husband. So if I wanted somebody to hear me and be compassionate as a woman would, I need to get on the phone and call one of my girlfriends.
She used to tell me back in those days, I don't need you to fix it. I can handle my career. I want you to listen.
I just want you to listen. And he's still the same. You know, he didn't change, but I had to change the way that I understood how he was communicating with
my mind works.
See, that's wisdom. You know, I had to understand, look, he's different. Men are different. Women are from Mars, from Venus. Women are from Venus. Men are from Mars. Men are we're different creatures, you know. I mean, we're not really. We're all created by God. We know that.
But communication skills.
But communication styles are so
different,
you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't, if you're not careful, you can expect him to give you something, ladies. You can expect your husband to give you something that he can't give you. Amen.
And this is good. We're going to touch on, like I said, the person.
I see my friend Kathy Jones. Hey,
amen.
Kathy.
Amen.
Yeah, but Alina said all the time. And, you know, listening is important. Pastor Melinda Richardson said listening is important.
I had to learn how to become a better listener.
That's good.
And even as someone just said about listening being important, my wife read a book one time about mental chatter. In other words, when we were having a strong disagreement, a strong discussion or dialogue or discord, I just was waiting for my turn to jump in and say my point of view. And she would wait for her, instead of listening to one another, hearing each other out, we would wait our turn and hammer right in our point of view. Guess what? That's not being a good listener.
Right, because you didn't hear anything I said. It was like, wah, wah, wah. Sometimes we're talking to our husbands, it's like, wah, 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 because they're not listening. And what we have to do is not get upset, you know, because it still happens. Men are just easily distracted, and sometimes women are so busy wanting to get their word in that they're not listening to what the man is saying. And that is so true. Or sometimes both partners, like my husband said, are so busy wanting to jump in there that we cut each other off. We play verbal ping pong with each other.
Wow.
You know, we'll talk, and that's fine in a discussion sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But in an argument, it does not work.
It does not work. Somebody got to diffuse that and bring that argument to the place where you're cordial, you're civil, and you're having a diplomatic discussion. And it's so easily. So many small things just get blown out of proportion. And one of the things I wanted to share, Pastor, is that sometimes the communication differences, you have that husband who is not as wordy as you, maybe quiet, or maybe the wife.
Maybe the wife.
You know, you have that strong personality. You have that A-type personality. And guess what? The two still got to become one flesh.
Ooh.
That's why marriage is not easy. It is challenging because there are different stages in marriage.
Yeah.
As we said, all of our kids are grown. Now sometimes we got to parent our adult children. We sit down and discuss what they're going through sometimes, and we still have to have wisdom. We approach it with the spirit of prayer. But, Pastor, communication is so important as far as a successful marriage.
It's so key.
It's so key.
Talk to each other, not at each other.
Wow.
You know,
I
pray somebody write that down. You know, talk to
each other
and not at each other.
Big
and then watch the tone. It's important that you watch the tone of voice that you speak to your spouse in. You know, whether it's your husband or your wife, you have to make sure that you are respecting. Men need respect.
That's number one.
Like sex, you know, sex and respect and sports.
That's the two they need.
And food. You know, so they need that, you know, they need that respect. And we have to make sure as women that we are respecting our husbands. No matter how long we've been married, no matter how they know who I am, he knows how I am, no matter how much he tolerates us sometimes. And women need that tenderness. I think sometimes, Pastor, we don't have time to go into. We're going to have to
pick it up. We might pick it up next time. Yes.
We're going to talk about his needs and her needs.
Yes, yes.
Next week.
Yes.
We'll talk about
his needs, her needs. Very important.
We'll talk about how to get what you need.
Yes.
You know, how to get what you need without manipulation, without going into a corner, sulking, without, you know, saying words that try to push him or trigger her to do what you want.
Yes.
Manipulation, that's kind of like witchcraft.
It is.
We want to make sure that we're not going against somebody's will. Amen. But that communication is so important that we talk to each other. If we leave you anything, I believe we have to go. It's time to go. But what we want to do is encourage you to talk to each other and not at each other. The other thing, we also want to encourage you to sign up for our email list at nctmonline.org. Go over to the Marriage Empowerment page. If you go there, you'll see Marriage Empowerment and sign up for our email list. But another thing we want to just hammer home tonight, and I believe this is in the room, you got to go home and forgive your spouse. You got to go in the next room and tell your and forgive your spouse. You might not even have to say it, but you got to let that grudge go. Somebody's holding a grudge. Somebody is mad. Somebody's angry. And you got to let that, you have to let that anger go, because it's the enemy of your marriage that has been keeping you angry. The enemy does not want you to live at peace with your spouse.
And we're going to, forgiveness, apologies, we're going to pick that up at a later, because we're going to be here every Monday in the month of February. But Pastor, it's so, so vital what you just said, because just because that man or woman is not speaking it out, that resentment is hidden. That bitterness is hidden.
Yes.
Just because, I guess they ain't mad because they ain't come at me, they're not arguing about it. You don't want that spouse walking around with resentment.
Really?
Walking around stewing. Because it's going to come out, and when it comes out, it's going to be ugly,
it's
like a
cancer.
It's
going to hurt you.
It's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like you said, Pastor, an apology and real forgiveness can squash that before it becomes a cancer and something destructive at a later stage. And we've known couples that have harbored things for months, sometimes years, and it never came out. But they walked around with resenting that person over something they said or something they did. So in marriage, we're going to talk about it again, forgiveness is a part of every marriage.
Yeah.
It's so big.
Yeah, so forgive. If you're angry tonight, let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Your marriage is not worth you holding a grudge. It's worth more than that. You married that person because you love that person, because you want to spend the rest of your life with that person. And you married that person for better or for worse. But guess what? It does not have to be for worse in your marriage. It does not have to be a bad marriage. You know, you can turn it around. One person can, your spouse might not even be watching tonight, but one person can be the person to turn that whole marriage around. One person can make a difference. You can make a difference by how you act. Change. You know, sometimes you're looking for your spouse to change, but it could be as simple as you changing.
Wow. Come on.
And you don't lose. It's not like you lost anything. You actually gained.
It's not weakness.
My God, it's not weakness either for the men. You haven't lost anything, but you have gained a stronger marriage. So forgive, and if you're doing things that are destructive in your marriage, we're here to say stop it. Just stop it. You know better. You know God has given you wisdom. You know what to do. You know what not to
do. And let's not do that, the silent treatment.
Yeah.
He's in a doghouse once again. And sometimes, man, we belong in that doghouse. But go ahead, lady, let him out of the doghouse. Hopefully he'll, you know, we do dumb stuff, us men. Sometimes we say the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But go ahead and let him out of that doghouse.
Yes, you do.
Enough with the silent treatment, you know. But it's so, so important what Pastor said. Hear each other.
Yeah.
Hear each other for real.
Yes.
You know, sit down over a cup of tea, cup of coffee, have a good, strong conversation on the couch, turn the TV off, put that cell phone away, cut it off, put it on silent, and begin to hear each other, listen to each other. If they have a stressful job, this pandemic has threw in something in your relationship or your marriage, you ain't got to dance around that issue. Guess what? My finances, I'm not okay with this decrease in my income.
Yes.
I'm not okay looking for another job.
Yes.
I'm not okay with the kids being home all the time.
Mm.
Talk about it.
Mm. Mm.
Talk about it.
Talk
Don't hold it in.
Talk about it. Then go somewhere and rub his head.
Whoa.
You know, show some affection to each other. You know, touch each other. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing what a touch will do, you know.
Oh.
So silly. More later.
Let's see, my sister,
Bonda is here. God bless you, sis.
All right.
Yeah. So we're gonna go deep. We're gonna go deep. You know, this is just the beginning.
This is the icebreaker.
We're only gonna be in an hour, so we can't take questions tonight. We were gonna take some questions, but I don't think we actually have anybody any questions. On block tonight.
We're going to keep it to the hour.
Yeah, we're going to keep
it
to
the
hour.
But next week, we're going to
pray for all marriages.
Okay.
We're not going to do individual prayer, but we are going to pray for all marriages just before we go on. Go ahead, Pastor.
Just real quick, next week, we are going to talk about his needs, her needs.
Yes.
And we may pick this forgiveness thing up again.
And the power of touch.
Yes. Go ahead, Pastor. You're going to pray for
you
the
You want focus. Me to pray or yes. you? Father God, we praise your name. We worship you. We magnify your name. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. Lord, we thank you for this time that you have allowed us to be together tonight, God. We thank you for every person, God, that's here, for every marriage that's represented on tonight, for every couple, oh God, that's represented on tonight, God. And Lord, we pray, Father God, that the words that we have spoken, yeah. Father God, will penetrate, oh God, and hallelujah, Father God, will, Father God, manifest, oh God, hallelujah, even something magnificent in each and every marriage, God. A lot of the stuff we said, God, your people already have known. They know it, God. But, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be the voices that remind them, oh God, that you have a better plan for them and a better plan for their marriage, God. I pray for every marriage, God, under the sound of my voice,
yes.
God. I pray for every husband, every wife, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for your hands upon their lives, God. I pray for blessings. We pray blessings over every household, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch every person, touch every husband, every wife, God, every couple on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Yes. Bless their finances, God. Father God, alleviate the pressure. Bring healing, oh God, to broken places, oh God. Lord, even, Father God, bring healing to each and every individual that might be going through some kind of sickness, oh God. Lord, we pray for an increase in their finances. God,
yes.
That you will allow more money, oh God, to come into their homes, oh God, that you will bless them financially, God, that you will bless them spiritually, oh God, that you will bless them physically, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will restore broken places in their marriage, God, and Lord, allow the power of forgiveness, oh God, and the power of, Father God, submission, oh God, to begin to rule and reign and manifest in their marriages, God. So, Lord, we pray, Father God, that you will do a new thing. You said, behold, I do a new thing. Can you not perceive it? All things are becoming passed away and all things are becoming new. So, Lord, we thank you for the new thing that you're doing, oh God, in each and every home, in each and every marriage. So, Lord, continue to have your way.
Bless
every marriage.
Bless every home. Yes.
Bless the children,
thank
God.
You,
bless their business. Businesses, their finances, oh God, everything that they touch, even in the workplace, God, put a guard around these homes, put a guard around these couples, oh God, and we thank you and we praise you, God, and we give you glory, God, even for those who want to be married, God, bring that husband, bring that wife, oh God, that they have been praying for, that they have been waiting for, oh God, because Lord, you give us, you said, we delight ourselves in you, that you will give us the desires of our heart. So bless even that one that desires to be married and bless them with the right spouse. In the name of Jesus, we bind up every hindering spirit. We bind up every enemy against marriage. We bind up every demon on assignment. And God, we thank you, Lord, for blessing marriages on tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And as we sign off today,
yes.
We will be here again next Monday.
Yes.
Marriage is a... Next Monday at 9 p.m., we will be here talking about not just his needs, her needs, but so much more.
Yes.
Because marriage is such a vast subject.
Yes.
But, again, we've taught seminars and workshops, and we have a good marriage of 24 years. So we just want to share with you. We're not here to do anything but share some of our experience and our wisdom in the area of marriage. And something that we share over these next 4 Mondays, prayerfully, it will enrich and enhance your marriage. Remember, the Bible says marriage should be honored by all,
yes.
And the marriage bed undefiled. God bless you.
God bless you. Remember to sign up for our newsletter. Go to www.nccmonline.com. www.makingmarriageonline.org. I'm going to put it in the chat after we go off the air and sign up. Go to the Marriage Empowerment page. Sign up for our newsletter. We have some exciting things coming for you and your marriage, and we're excited. Amen. And even individually. So God bless you.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
And serve our God.
God bless.
Love you guys.
Love
you. See you next week.
Good night.
It's still on.